Welcome everyone to Be Clean. This is the last five verses of chapter one of the book of Mark, our second online sermon that we're putting out there. If you're following along in the study guide, I actually put this to watch in week two, but it actually comes after the message from this past weekend. So I had that wrong. It's really in week three. So here you go. Hopefully it's helpful to you. Hey, a little known trivia that you probably could care less about is one of my, I would say definitely in my top five for sure, TV shows of my lifetime that I just kind of really got addicted to was something called The Walking Dead. Here's a picture of, better cover your kids' eyes. That's a picture of a zombie, which is just a whole series, and then there was a lot of spinoffs. I didn't watch all of those, but of the zombie apocalypse, right? And I bring that up because this passage, the end of chapter one of Mark, Jesus interacts and meets a leper. Okay, this is actually a picture of what a leper might have looked like. Let me show you that. So you can kind of see where it could be a gruesome disease. And I mentioned The Walking Dead because they would actually call lepers, at least some of them, the Walking Dead. They weren't zombies, but they were more like people that were such outcasts and so lost from society that it's like, you may as well be dead. That's probably not a title any of us want, but that's what lepers were. So leprosy isn't exactly what we call leprosy today. It could have really covered a whole range of skin diseases. Some they could recover from. Others were permanent. Some actually were contagious. Others weren't. But when you had leprosy as a Jew, you were considered unclean. And so this meant you weren't just physically unclean, but you are spiritually, emotionally, every which way unclean. You had to stay away from society. If you came anywhere near, you had to sometimes say, I'm unclean, and you would have to tear your clothing. And so it meant very little opportunities for work. You couldn't go to synagogue or temple. You were an outcast and considered, which is probably the most important thing, by most, to have been judged by God for some reason, something you did or someone else did, you are under the judgment of God, and therefore you kind of deserve it. And so you're amongst the walking dead. You're lost. You're dead. And so it's someone like this that's going to meet and interact with Jesus. First, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take this passage and really, through your Spirit, in the name of Jesus, just impact our hearts, impact our minds. Also, Lord, impact our lives. We want to have the faith of the leper, the compassion of Jesus, and to know the gospel even more deeper in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you want, we'll put up the slides, but if you want to follow along, Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40, where we left off in the weekend message after the Sabbath day events, right? And in this, there's implications, big time implications for us, regardless if you're a leper. I mean, for me, I have psoriasis, so I wouldn't even be able to do this if it was, you know, Jesus hadn't come. So I'm really thankful. But even more so, implications of our faith in our life. So verse 40 says this, and a leper came to him, that's Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Okay, so first of all, the leper does something he's absolutely not supposed to do, as we already discussed. He's not supposed to approach anyone. He's certainly not supposed to approach clean Jewish people. And he is most definitely not supposed to approach a rabbi, especially at this point in Jesus' ministry, a rock star rabbi, healing, driving out demons, crowds, right? Absolutely not. So he shows a couple of things. First thing he shows is a desperate faith. Like, I don't care. I am so desperate, so lost. No one, nothing else can help me, restore me, heal me. Only Jesus. So he is driven to just fall at his knees, or fall on his knees before the feet of Jesus. So it's a desperate faith, but it's also what we might call a really great, huge faith. Notice what he says. Like, he doesn't say, if you can, he says, if you will. So this leper, This is big. Nobody cures leprosy. That's the whole point. There's no cure for leprosy in their day. And so he says, I know you can. I have no doubt that this Jesus can heal me. The question is, will you? And that's still a question when it comes to especially physical sickness for us. There's times Jesus absolutely heals. We've prayed over people in the church and we've seen Jesus completely heal that person. We've also prayed over people and he chooses not to. And we just have to have that faith that he just has a greater work and story he's doing in that person's suffering in life, as hard as that might be. And so the leper says, if you will you make me clean? So it's him truly believing he can be healed, but he's asking Jesus, will you? And so verse 41 says this, moved with pity. Remember that phrase, moved with pity. He stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said to him, I will be clean. Okay. Jesus sees him. He's on his knees. He's before this Jesus. He's not supposed to be there. Right. And he asks this question, are you willing to heal me? Right. And so he's moved with pity. This is, and the reason I said to remember that is that expression in the Greek is, it's a word that typically has the connotation of anger. It probably reads better, Jesus was angry. And you can see why the English translators are like, that kind of shows, like, is he angry with the leper? And clearly he doesn't seem to be. And so he's most likely, what Mark is getting at is he's moved with anger at the disease, right, at leprosy. Jesus has moved to anger at this broken world, which is what causes sickness and death. At Lazarus' funeral, he's moved to his spirit, right? He's often moved so deeply because he sees the brokenness that sin has brought, which is why he came anyway. And so he looks at this leper and he's so angry that it causes him to be moved with pity. And so the most important thing to notice there is that Jesus stretches out his hand and he touches him, right? Mark loves to stress the personal touch sometimes of Jesus. You'll notice that through the gospel. And so he touches him. But in this case, think how important this is. We're not just talking about a blind guy or a crippled person. And I'm not saying those aren't bad things. I'm just saying that doesn't make you unclean. This is supposed to, if it were you and I touching a leper in that day, in that culture, his uncleanness, we might get infected, first of all, if it's, you know, contagious. But even if not, we're definitely not going to be clean ourselves. And there's a whole process of being made clean again. And yet Jesus, instead of the uncleanness flowing from the leper to the person, which is what would happen with us, it's Jesus' power of cleanliness and holiness that spreads instead to the leper. And it says he's immediately clean, right? Like in verse 42, look with me. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Mark loves that word immediately, right? And here it's so beautiful. Like, look, you and I, we might have a sickness. We go to a doctor, maybe he or she gives us an antibiotic or gives us some kind of a cure. And it's almost never are you like, well, yeah, I'm perfectly fine now, right? There's a process of healing. Even if you get better, it's like you feel a little bit better and then you feel a little bit better and you feel a little bit better. That's not what happens here. Jesus completely and immediately heals him. So any of the skin problem, rash problem, a lot of times lepers, some categories of lepers lose feeling. They have limbs falling off, fingers falling off. All of it's restored. Right? From completely unclean, he's a leper, to immediately clean. Because that's Jesus. He's not some doctor making him a little bit better at a time, but absolutely restored. Right? So now he stands up. Just imagine the scene. Verse 43, Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. So again, when it says Jesus sternly charged them, that's another Greek phrase that connotates anger. Jesus kind of seems angry in this whole episode, even though he's beautifully healing this person. And some are like, well, what's he angry at now? It's really hard to say. Is he angry, a little bit angry at the situation? Probably, because he knows what the result of this is going to be, and we'll see that in a second. But he might also be a little bit irritated with the leper because he's Jesus and he knows it. The leper's not to give away the ending here, but the leper's not going to do what he says to do, which is what? Well, two things. One, follow the Mosaic command, which is what a leper was supposed to do when they feel that they're cured from their leprosy. Go to a priest, get inspected, and you can read in Leviticus all about that if you want. He says, go do that, okay? But don't make a big deal out of it that I healed you. Don't go around telling people that it was me. He could have gone to the priest and said, yeah, I'm healed, look at me, without dragging Jesus into it, right? Why then is Jesus saying to the leper, hey, don't involve me? Like, what's the reason for that? There's this theme in Mark. It's called the theme of secrecy, especially early on, where Jesus doesn't want people to tell too much about him before the right time. We've seen up to this point in Mark, him telling demons not to basically to shut up. That's a little bit different, regardless of how true or what they knew. Like, Jesus doesn't want demons speaking for him ever, right? So you be quiet. This is the first person. Why would Jesus say, don't tell anyone? Couple of reasons. Number one, Jesus has made it very clear. His ministry, his point, is to bring the gospel of God, right? The kingdom of God, that proclamation, repent and believe. That's why he's here. Notice that he doesn't really go out of his way. Hey, I need to find a bunch of sick people to heal them or demonic possessed people to free them. They come to him, and out of compassion and pity, Jesus heals, Jesus drives out demons. He does do those things, and it definitely validates his ministry. But that's not the point of it, right? And he knows it's already starting to happen in Mark, right? Is it's going to just, people are all going to want that from him and miss the whole point of why he's there. This is really important for the church today, because there are churches, ministries, denominations who basically make it their mission to heal. Like, all they're all about healing, or demonic exorcisms. God uses the church to pray, and we do see miraculous healing. We're supposed to do that. And certainly there are battles with the demonic forces. I'm not saying that, but it's not our point, right? The point is the same point as Jesus. It is to proclaim the gospel of God, the kingdom of God. And so if our healing ministries or anything like that's getting in the way, it's a problem. The second reason is more practical. He knows all these people are going to come flocking to him, and it's really going to hinder what he's doing. He's like, I don't have the capacity. I need to be able to teach. I need to be able to move about. And it's like, the more healings, like, this is legit. He's not just healing stomach ailments. He's healing leprosy and deafness and blindness and cripples. And it's crazy, right? So he's like, the more I do this and the more they start spreading the word, they're going to miss the whole point. They're going to be mobbing me. Please don't do that, right? And so verse 45, but he went out, that's the leper, and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Okay, so with this, the first thing I just want to say is Jesus does command us through his word to do certain things and to not do certain things. And sometimes in our context, it's confusing, or it doesn't make sense, or why wouldn't God want me to do this? Or why wouldn't Jesus want me to? And we just have to trust him, right? Like, just do what he says. Like, even if, because I mean, I can understand, the leper's like, he didn't really mean that. He's just being humble or whatever, right? Like, I'm healed. I want the whole world to know it was me, and you should get the credit for it. Yes, but I told you not to, right? Just listen to me and obey me. But he doesn't. And we can really learn a lesson there. But what I want you to notice is the switch, right? This is, and what I mean by this is, you have a leper who is on the outskirts. He's afar off. He's got that horrible burden. And he comes, and his interaction was Jesus, and now it switches. So where now the leper is in, and the Jesus, you know, in practicality, doesn't now have leprosy, but he's pushed to the outskirts because of the crowds. Like, they're just coming to him from every quarter, Mark says. And so in a way, this is going to teach us the gospel, right? That Jesus takes on our burden that made us outcasts so that we can come in. So he becomes the outcast on our behalf. But we'll get there, all right? So the first thing I want you to do, we'll just kind of apply this real quick, is do you need faith like the leper, right? Faith like the leper. Think about how much of an outcast he was. And maybe you do feel or have felt, you're not a leper. You don't know how to scream, I don't think, unclean, unclean. But sometimes we can feel that way. Sometimes it's just, we feel ostracized. A brokenness in relationship, coldness in our marriage, a sickness, or something's happened to us, or we have a disability, or we have a reputation that isn't our fault, but there it is, or it is our fault, right? Even worse, like, we deserve to be outcast. Whatever it is, maybe you feel that way, where you just feel like you're not good enough for God, or you've blown it too much, or you're too far off. And so the question is, can I, when we're feeling that way, can you have the faith of a leper? Can you take that brokenness, that feeling of judgment and outcastness, and just lay it at the feet of Jesus, and just let him have it, and believe that he can restore it. Now, sometimes, especially with illness, as I said earlier, or like, he will let us walk through some things because he has a greater work he's doing, and it's hard because we just want it, the pain to go away, right? But can we still pray that prayer? Can we be like, Lord, heal my marriage. It's broken. Lord, that strain I have with my child or my parents, that brokenness from that person who used to be my friend, the sickness that I feel, the shame that I still feel, even though I'm told I shouldn't, it weighs me down. That whatever it might be, can we have the faith of the leper and just say, Jesus, if you're willing, you're the only one who can restore, redeem, help, and cleanse me. So two things is, we believe it and then we leave it. If he wants us to continue to walk this way, we will do it. But we know without, just like the leper, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this Jesus and the power of the gospel can heal this situation. Do you need faith like the leper? Now, the second thing, you might be going pretty good right now, and I'm glad about that, right? Like, you're like, yeah, I'm not feeling really ostracized. Maybe I once was, or felt shame, or felt sick, or whatever, but I'm past that. I'm feeling pretty good. So the second point we can kind of learn is from the other side. Do I have compassion like Jesus? Faith like the leper, compassion like Jesus. And so that's what I mean by this. Like, we as the church, if that's you, we're called to now be the mission of Jesus. So it is primarily to proclaim the gospel, right? That Jesus is proclaiming, repent and believe. But it's also to show the compassion for the people that are on the fringe, the people that are outcasted, the people that are overlooked. And sometimes it's their fault, and sometimes it's not, right? And we can look at them, and we are the hands and feet. And this is so much easier to say in a sermon or to listen to in church, but it can be really difficult. Think about Jesus. Like, he knows, Jesus knows, I'm gonna heal this leper, and I'm glad, but it's gonna cause a problem. where it's going to be a hindrance to my ministry. It's going to be a headache that I don't feel. He could have easily, who would have blamed him, just said it's just one guy. He's going to blow it anyway afterwards. He'll be okay. Like, I got a bigger ministry to do. I got more important things to do. But he didn't do that. The compassion that he felt deep in his spirit towards this person who was so hurting, it triumphed over any of that feeling of, this is going to be a headache for me. And the same can happen for us, right? Like it can be scary to help the poor or the homeless or the addict or the downtrodden or the person in your school that nobody wants to sit with at lunch or whatever it might be. I remember years ago, I was walking to my office through the worship center, and there was this older guy just sitting there. And I'd been doing it long enough I could just tell this guy's going to want to talk. And I could also tell he seemed pretty broken. And I got to be honest, my first thought was, ugh, I don't have time for this. I got to write this. I got to answer this email. I got to meet with this person. I do not have time for this. But here he is. And as I brought him in my office thinking, I don't have time for this, and hearing he's battling alcohol addiction. And my experience with that is like, man, I'm going to give him counsel. He's probably not going to do it. Like those kinds of thoughts. And yet, because of the Holy Spirit, I was moved to compassion. And I established a relationship. And he did eventually pass away from liver cirrhosis. But I was able to show compassion to him. I didn't really want to at first. That's my point. And I remember another instance where this older woman who I had counseled many times, and it felt like to me anyway, she'd never listened. It was the same conversation over and over again, right? It was the idea of that you call insanity, like keep trying the same thing and never results and keep hoping for a different result. And so she pulled up one day, this is again years ago, and I was like, this again? I don't have time for this. I've tried this. Lord, you know, really like that kind of attitude. And yet somewhere deep inside of me, I was able to, through the Holy Spirit, not my own flesh, have compassion for her. I don't know if she listened to me. I was there to listen to her and to just show her that someone cares. Sometimes that's the only mission. And so do you have someone or some group in your life to do it safely? I'm not asking you to run out into the city where the homeless population is by yourself and potentially be harmed. But are you able to safely go to people, whether it's ostracized in society or just ostracized in your family or ostracized in your school or your workplace or wherever you might be? Is there someone God has put on your heart to say, I don't really want to, I don't really have time for it. It's a little awkward, it's a little scary, but I want to show the same compassion that Jesus showed to the leper. I want to show it to him or her or to them. Okay, last point, and I want to end this way because it's the most important point of this, okay? And that is the gospel according to a leper. And you might say, well, Jamie, this really didn't have to do with the gospel. This was a physical healing. But it proclaimed so much more. Because remember, I said you might feel like an outcast right now. But the real truth of the matter is, we're all outcasts because of our sin. There's the holiness of God, and there's you and me. We've sinned. And that burden of unclean, afar off, separation, it's a burden that we have to bear, but we can't. We can't. And it's eternal, and it's horrible, and it's messy, and it's way worse than physical leprosy. And every one of us, because of our sin, we are an outcast. Right? And that's what the whole gospel is. That's why Jesus was like, hey, listen, I'll heal you, but I have something far greater for you, and it's eternal, and it's way better than just physical healing from sickness or from leprosy, right? And so I want you to remember that Jesus, for you and I, he didn't draw near to us to relieve us from a skin problem, but to relieve us from a sin problem. Now, I'm pretty impressed with that. It rhymes. So let me say it again. The real story of the gospel is not that Jesus comes to relieve us from a skin problem, but a sin problem, way worse, right? And so remember the switch. He draws near to us. We are ostracized. We are outcasts. we can't draw near to not just culture, society, but to God's throne room, way more important and way better because of our sin and his holiness. Jesus draws near and he takes the burden just like he took the burden from the leper. And he actually takes the burden of our sin. And so on the cross, he's ostracized. He is judged and the wrath of God falls on him. And so that we can immediately through faith be made clean. And so now we can enter in where we weren't able to before because Jesus has made it happen, right? And so this is the most important thing. Have you ever just had the opportunity to put your trust in Jesus? To say, like here, this is what I would call it. I don't know if you've ever played poker. Probably shouldn't, but I used to play as a kid, right? And have you ever said you put all of your chips, I have change, and you just, have you ever seen a poker match on ESPN2 or something? And it just, I'm all in. Like that's what faith in the gospel is. And that's what the leper ultimately was. Like nothing else, no one else. I'm at your feet, at your disposal because you're the only one. That's what ultimately our sin problem is. All my chips. I'm not just, well, we'll see if religion works. Well, I'll follow some teachings of Jesus, but maybe some teachings of Buddha and some teaching. That's not what this is. This is a complete all-in faith that says my sin problem cannot be taken care of by me or anyone or anything else, only Jesus. He came to save me. Jesus, have you ever just simply said, I repent and I believe? The gospel according to the leper is the same gospel for me and for you. And I know a lot of you watching this have done that. So this is a good opportunity to just thank the Lord for it. But if you haven't, why not right now, wherever you are, on your phone watching this or listening to this in your car, or you're watching this in your living room, your kitchen, your bedroom, wherever you are, just say, Jesus, I repent of my sin and I put all my faith in you to make me clean. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you that you have made me clean. Not because I did anything, but because Jesus drew near. He went to the cross for me. And I thank you for so many watching or listening to this. So that's the reality. We are clean only because of you. But Lord, I pray for if it's one person, if it's 50, if it's 500, if it's 5,000, only you know. That watch this or listen to this, and whenever they do, they've never fully trusted in you. Would you give them the faith to put all of their chips in, all of their faith to believe, and repent of their sin and believe in you? The gospel is the greatest thing for us to proclaim. And it's in Jesus' name we give all the glory to you. Amen. We'll see you next time.